Trust me. And I don't even know if we're going to get to anything else because this is kind of taking off here. Scott Osler, longtime columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, good friend of the program, good friend of ours, wrote an article. And Scott, I got to say, Lubman dropped this article in our thread literally after our show call when we were discussing, you know, we may have to have a discussion about Stephen Curry and whether it's best to not necessarily move on, but are the Warriors closer to contending with Steph or are they closer to the bottom with Stephen Curry? And then, next thing you know, we get your headline, why the Warriors need to consider the unthinkable, trading Stephen Curry. Now, Scott, good morning to you. Thanks for spending some time with us. What led you to writing this column about Stephen Curry and thinking about that? What made this start to float in your brain? Because it was floating in ours.
Hey, Bonte and Shasky. Hey, good talking to you guys. And you owe me a debt because I saved you a lot of grief because I brought it up. And so you can be just the guy that's letting me air my opinion. And
this is exactly what I'm doing, Scott.
You're the meat shield and will be Leonidas standing with the other 300 trying to take the arrows from the enemy.
Scott, I'm just laying it out for you to play it out. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. And by the way, I appreciate you guys flushing that caller earlier that said I was past my prime.
Oh yes.
I want that person to know I never had a prime, man. I went right from rising star to over the hill, man. I never had a prime.
I love it.
Yeah, he's bad. Whenever they disrespect our guests, especially you, Scott, who's a friend of the program and been great to us for over the years, he ain't coming back on the show until at least May. And he may not come on during May. He may have to take the whole summer off.
Give him a week off, yeah.
All right, give him a week off. Go ahead, Scott.
No. You asked me what caused me to write that. I just thought it was an interesting topic. And a lot of it's only been a week, like you said, since the season ended. But a lot of the talk is we're kind of in a rut. It's gotten kind of stale. We're going over the same ground. Should we keep Clay? Should we not keep Clay? And it's all dancing around the one obvious thing that people should at least throw out on the table, throw it out and discard it if you want, but it's worth talking about. And I was thinking, you know, if I'm the owner of the team, if I'm Joe, and Steph comes to me and says, look, Joe, I know these are hard times. It's going to be a hard rebuild. I would like to be a Warrior forever, but if the opportunity comes up that you guys can launch a rebuild and you can get me to a team that's going to fight for a championship, you know, I won't stand in the way of that. Then if I'm Joe, I start looking around. Why not?
Well, let's just say, like right now, because this is the conversation we were having literally before we even saw your article dropped. Are they closer to being a contender, even if they make some wild trade, right? Are they closer to being a contender or just embracing the rebuild? I think it's closer to embracing the rebuild than most fans want to admit.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And in a weird way, Shasky, what you guys were talking about in the last segment is bringing in LeBron. And you know that I would never think I would be saying this, but I'd sign up for that. I'd sign up for a year or two of LeBron.
Of course you would, because the Chronicle will sell so many papers because of LeBron.
That's
not why. Has nothing to do with basketball.
He's still amazing.
It has everything to do with content. Come on, Scott. You know business would be booming. It would be booming.
It would, and you'd have to extend the games by about 10 minutes because you'd have with Draymond and LeBron, you'd have two of the greatest crybabies in the history of the sport.
Oh, so
every foul would be a drama. So,
man.
But it would be interesting. You know, think of the stuff LeBron could bring, man. If he's attacking the rim,
totally.
How much would it open up the outside? Come on.
I completely agree. Let me ask you this.
I agree with the way he plays. I just don't want to
him
deal
and Steph
with
would make beautiful music together. You're kidding yourself.
Hey, what do they do? Lose in the first round or second round?
I mean,
round or second round? Did they make a West Finals?
Oh, come on, man.
I know.
It's the Over the Hill gang. It's the Golden Boys.
Oh, exactly.
When is the Over the Hill gang ever was something in the NBA? Honestly. I remember when the Rockets went back-to-back, and I was like, ooh, the Rockets made three-peat. And they got swept the next year by the Sonics, and it was like, oh, it's really over. Like, they got old overnight. And the Warriors have had a great run for a decade. That's why I'm trying not to keep these guys running.
It's an unprecedented run.
It's all-time run. But at some point, age does catch up. And with the West being as loaded as it is, with all these young, as you wrote in your article, it's getting faster, getting more athletic, springy, all these things. How do the Warriors do that by bringing in LeBron?
Yeah. And one thing about if you're kicking around the idea of trading Steph is if you're a real fan of Steph, you don't want to see the guy get embarrassed by having to play with guys who are faded and can't keep up and nobody can play defense and it just becomes a ragtag gym kind of game. You know, you don't want to see staff have to put up with that kind of stuff.
No. You've been around the industry and you've been watching sports your entire life. Like, my dad, you know, I can hear him like, Willie Mays playing for the Mets, Joe Montana playing for the Chiefs, Jerry Rice in a Bronco uniform. I mean, we can go on and on. Ronnie Lott in a Jets uniform. I mean, come on. Some of these images in my head. But trading Steph, I actually think it'd be bigger than trading Joe Montana, because at least you had the MVP at 92 before they even executed the trade. Steve was the MVP, and only one guy can play quarterback. This would be the biggest trade of all time, right, in the Bay Area?
It would be the biggest. It would be the biggest trade of all time, without question. I don't think it's even close. And but the one difference is that it would be a trade that the guy who gets traded away would sign off on. They would never trade Steph Curry. At least I hope they would never trade him without his blessing. You know, they didn't come to Willie Mays and say, "Hey, Willie, is it okay if we trade you?" They just traded him. And some reader mentioned to me this morning in an email probably the worst trade of all time, the coldest trade of all time. You have to be a history buff, and I'm sure you guys are, going back in baseball, 1956. The Dodgers traded Jackie Robinson to the Giants.
And then he refused to play.
He retired. He said, forget it.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite fun facts. Yeah, I love that.
I love that.
So this would not be that. This would be this is probably not going to happen. I'm surely not going to happen. But if they did trade Steph, it would be a mutual thing, for sure.
What's your take
on
that?
And it would be a mutually amicable. It would be a loving and friendly parting of the ways.
No doubt.
I hope it doesn't happen, by the way.
Yeah, no, nobody wants it to happen.
I'm willing to put up with watching Steph having to play with a scuffling crew for 2 or 3 years until they rebuild a little bit, and then maybe it's too late. And even so, let's say that happens. Let's say Steph never wins again. Let's say they're out of the playoffs for the next 3 years. And I'm still good with that, Bonte, because like you said, man, what Steph has given us and what that team has given us, they can do whatever they want. They can ride with those guys for the next 10 years. It's up to me, and I'm fine with that.
I'm with you, Scott, because if you do move them to the business aspect of everything, the ticket sales, the revenue, the jersey sales, the gear, everything, the ratings on television, the readership on the Chronicle, everything goes down its drain with Steph Curry if he does me. What's your take on Klay Thompson? What do you think happens with Klay Thompson, Scott?
I think he goes. If I have to guess, I think he goes, because they're going to set a price. I don't know if it's $27 million for 2 years or whatever, but it can't be like $35-38 million for 3 or 4 years or anything like that. They just can't afford it. It would just rip the team apart financially, and they can't do that. And so I think they're going to make a price, and they're going to lay it out to Klay. And I don't, you know, with Klay, it's going to be like with so many other players. It's not necessarily about the money. You know, he doesn't need the money. People say, well, why can't he take a $10 million discount? Well, because it becomes a pride thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think his pride would allow him to do that. I think. And so, if I had to guess, I'd say he's probably gone.
You know
these guys can't. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, of all the stories I want told, just in general, I think the Jordan Poole saga, to me, is one of the most fascinating. Kevin Durant's going to get all the headlines, and there's a whole ecosystem of ego regarding Draymond, Steph, KD, fan appreciation, rings being real and not real, and, you know, signing up with a team that you should have been able to beat. Like, there's so many elements of that, like the KD thing. But to me, the juicier one is Jordan Poole. This is the ascension of what I thought was going to be a potential superstar. And just to see it a year later, like, I have such buyer's remorse from that trade. Man, I don't know. Like, as a writer, do you think, like, that's the untold story you want told from this dynasty, or is there something else I'm missing?
No, I think it's an interesting story. There's something interesting I read yesterday in The Athletic. They did, I hate to pimp the opposition, but they did a nice thing. It's called the Anonymous NBA Players Poll.
Right.
You probably saw it. But one of the interesting things I thought in that was that the most overrated player, and I think Rudy Gobert was number one, but I think Jordan Poole was number two or three.
He was two.
So apparently the guys in the league think he's a bit of a fraud.
Yeah, he was number two. He did end the year well since March 1st. He did average 22-6, shot 36% from three, and 43%, maybe 44% from the floor. I'll double check that. But he did end the season well. Hopefully he gets his game back, because he was lost for at least a year and a half, JP there. So Scott Alser, his article in the Chronicle right now, really good. Give it a read. He's not advocating trading Stephen Curry. He's not doing that. He's not advocating that. But He did it right. Why the Warriors need to consider the unthinkable. And that's trading Stephen Curry. It's a fascinating article. It has been a fascinating topic here on the Morning Roast today. Scott, always thank you for the time. Hope the kids are well. Tell the wife we said hi.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Scott Osler.
The best.
Multi-columnist with the San Francisco Chronicle. The fact that he was listening to her BPA get flushed just makes my day.
Oh, it made your day.
Take that, BPA.
I'm not scared.
Yeah, well, you be scared.
Now I'm envisioning him driving around in an ice cream truck like that one caller said.
I mean, think about the...
What is he, like Big Worm?
We're going to get to Austin and Alex on the other side here because we got a break.
Right.
But think about BPA. The last few days he's been on the show.
Why does he get under your skin?
No, he does. He's condescending.
He's the Reuben Patterson to your Kobe.
Yeah, he's not a Kobe. He's not a Bonte stopper. But like even last week, I asked him a question. He goes, "What?" And I said, "Don't what me?" Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I forgot I was on radio for a second. It's like, who is this guy thinking he is?
What me?
We give you the platform. You guys entertain the guy. Enough is enough with the guy. I don't even know if he's a Warrior fan, crying out loud.
Hey, I got a lot of love for you, too, as you know.
Oh, my God. Imagine watching a basketball game with that guy. What a misery. He's just like watching in negativity. The Warriors go down 2-0. Oh, that's it. Oh, you got to make that play.
I love watching a game with
BPA. Yeah, now I'm imagining.
No, I kind of want to watch a game with him, too.
Go ahead and tell me how it is. Tell me how miserable it is.
I'll send you lots of videos.
Heckling a referee like that fan behind Aaron Boone, getting Steve Kerr a technical when he didn't deserve it.
John Payne is the first base umpire saw him making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I was supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pit. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay?
Oh, okay, Hunter. Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear...
Aaron, we're done.
Oh, there you go. Now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
It's in the ground.
Oh, man.
That's BPA, the Yankee version, sitting in the second row.
One batter in.
So good.
It'd be the most miserable 3 hours you guys ever spend in your life. You'd be saying, Bonte, you did have a point, like Guru.
Bonte did have a point.
You did have a point. I can't get those 3 hours back.
Right. At least Bonte didn't win.
Austin and Alex, at least Guru didn't hit the ball squarely. He didn't explode. Good job, Guru. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises, your phone calls, and maybe we'll get to a little Ayuk. We got some John Lynch out. We got TJ Husmanzada. We got Charles Barkley on the Lakers once again. Oh, the Lakers lose, and it makes me so happy.
To the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
The Lakers! Jamal Murray, game winner last night. Nuggets rally from a 20-point deficit. Lakers down 0-2 in that best of seven. And then it'll be the summer of LeBron. Where is he going to go? He'll hijack the offseason as always. Knicks Sixers. That went down to the wire. What a great game that was. Playoffs are hot right now. Hot! Man, I love Charles Barkley. Oh, I love me some Chuck. Not only because he's told me one day that I asked him the greatest question that's ever been asked. Don't even remember what the question was, but he made my day. Warriors lost to the Raptors later that night.
Charles, what are you eating today?
Oh, I was working that day. I remember that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Hey, I did not care because later on that night we had Snoop and E-40 on the set at NBC Sports, and I was like, Mama, I made it. I had a glass of Yak. Warriors are down 3-1, and I didn't give a damn because I thought my career had reached its peak. It did. It's been all downhill from there. But Charles Barkley. Last night, before the Lakers-Nuggets game, these are just, this is just gospel, and it's so true.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. One thing you can always count on with the Lakers, they're going to throw somebody under the bus when they lose. Going back to Russell Westbrook, going back to Frank Vogel, now I guess D'Angelo Russell. If that's not D'Angelo Russell's man right there, just for the record. But I just love the way They just blame. Listen, man, the Denver Nuggets are a better team than the Lakers. I didn't like the way they called D'Angelo out after game one time, but he gets scum going on when he goes to Denver. Kid's not trying to miss shots, but they're beating them in every aspect of the game, Ernie. They're not just beating them at D'Angelo's position. You know, I hope he has a good game, but the Nuggets right now, they just a better team than the Lakers. Has nothing to do with D'Angelo or Rui or whatever. The Denver Nuggets, man, they are well-oiled machine.
Thank you, Chuck.
There's no one, though, who delivers the opinion the way Chuck does.
I love it.
Yeah, everyone does. I know Draymond, a lot of people think is going to be a great analysis, and I agree, but like the comparison to Charles Barkley is not an accurate one. He's better than Reggie Miller in terms of breaking down the game. That is Draymond Green. But Chuck is in a whole category by himself.
He is.
And anybody who tries to come the way Chuck comes at people and the way he did, like, he's just unique.
Right.
Like, no one can do his unicorn thing.
And I think people forget, and a lot of people don't understand. I get it. If you're younger, you didn't watch him play in his prime. Charles Barkley was a badass.
Charles Barkley is one of my favorite players of all time.
I think... I don't know what the stat line. You guys will look it up. Game 7, Seattle Supersonics at home. The guy, I think, goes for 44 and 24.
Was that when he was going after, it was him versus David Robinson for the scoring title in the final game of the year?
No, this was, I don't know if that was the season. It was his MVP year. His MVP year.
So that was 93 well, Phoenix Suns.
David Robinson went at it with who? Was it Charles Barkley or was it somebody else?
I thought it was Barkley, and he scored like 45 or 50 on the final
David Robinson
day of
scored 71.
Oh, that was a different time. I'm talking about the end of the year. They were both going for the scoring title, and I believe both of them had humongous games on the same day.
He edged Shaquille O'Neal in 94.
There you go.
When David Robinson scored the 71 points.
So David did.
Clippers. David did, and Shaq. He beat Shaq. He edged Shaq for the scoring
title. Okay, I thought it was Barkley.
But I remember Barkley winning MVP. And he went at, now he had a game winner against David Robinson in the playoff series, Hemisphere Arena, when he pulled up from the top of the
that
top
was
of the key.
A moment in time.
That was a moment. But Charles Barkley, I think in game 7 against Seattle, he dropped like 44-24. And I remember in that game as a kid, Sean Kemp, he drew Sean Kemp's 4th foul, and he looked at the camera and said, "That's 4." It was like, damn. And he dominated.
Rain Man?
Rain Man.
Spawn?
Rain Man. Barkley was a problem. It was a problem. Then you got the Sixers and Altuve.
Sean Kemp. Think about whatever you thought Blake Griffin was, Sean Kemp was way better.
So much better. And how about this?
Sean Kemp was so sick.
I wonder what 94 WIP is doing.
What are they doing?
Poor broadcast team. K. Scott.
You'd love to, but the goal is not having home court advantage, to getting home court advantage by winning one of the two games on the road. Job done. Let's head down to the turnpike.
Now he splits them. Stay tuned. Post game live. It's going to be fun. Brunson pushing off. No whistle.
NBC Sports, Philadelphia. I should text Kate. Tough one. Tough one for the Sixers. Tough one. I was actually rooting for AB to Maxi. Tough one. So the announcer's cheeks. Fitz would never do that. He would never do that. If I did that on a little look, it's like, hey, I'm Bonta Hill. In that fourth quarter hit, Fitz would check me on air on the spot. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You never know what could happen. Never know what could happen in the NBA. Let's go to Alex in Atlanta. Alex, then we'll get to Austin in Redwood City. Alex, what's happening?
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. Look, just to chime in on the question you guys posted earlier on the YouTube channel, I think right now, I mean, obviously, I think ideally they should try to keep Steph for as long as possible, but I think looking ahead to this offseason, the fan base has to get comfortable with the idea that the primary goal of this offseason is going to be shedding as much salary as possible, whether it's, you know, moving on from Chris Paul, obviously, moving on from Wiggins, potentially moving on from Draymond Green, and maybe even potentially letting Clay walk in free agency. Now, as far as Wiggins and Green are concerned, if you're looking for potential trade partners for them, and I know they do have some difficult contracts to move, I'd look at Eastern Conference teams that, you know, perform poorly in terms of defensive rating this year, but also were playoff contenders. So specifically looking at Atlanta, you know, they were 27th in the league in defensive rating, but they were a play-in team, and they're in a situation right now where they're trying to do everything possible to keep Trae Young happy, and that includes trying to make deeper playoff runs. So they have a lot of room to improve defensively. So ideally, that's a good spot for Wiggins and or Draymond Green to land. Now, what you can get in return is probably going to be minimal, and that's something you also have to accept this offseason, is that if you are going to move off these contracts, the returns aren't going to be great. But another team I look at is the Indiana Pacers. If they're not able to bring back Siakam this offseason, that's a team that's probably going to be looking to improve defensively year over year. So Andrew Wiggins might be a good fit there as well.
Interesting point, Alex. Interesting point. By the way, I was looking up the Game 7. Eddie Johnson in that Game 7 had 34 points off the bench, 12-17 from the floor. Sean Kemp only 18 points in that game, fouled out, 8 rebounds. Charles Barkley, 12-20 from the floor, 19-22 from the free throw line, 44 points, 24 rebounds, 10 offensive rebounds. Come on, man. In a Game 7. Like, that's just sick. That's just sick. I mean, when we go box score watching, those are just sick numbers. Game 7.
In the hand check era.
In the hand check
era. See, that's the thing I don't think people understand. The freedom of movement in this last 20 years is just, it's very different. It's easier to score now than ever.
No doubt.
In terms of, like, not having somebody's hand on your hip at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, the pace of play. I know in the 80s, the pace of play was through the roof, but, like, the 90s was not.
No, it wasn't.
It was very different.
It was nasty.
That Phoenix Suns team was so much fun. Dan the Man Marley, Danny Ainge, A.C. Green. I mean, they had some
on this
players.
Team. It
who
was
on that team?
On this team was Barkley, Marley,
Kevin KJ. Johnson. Yeah, KJ.
Kevin Johnson, 22 points, 9 assists in that game. Tom Chambers.
Great
Tom Chambers, 17-6.
At the end of his career, like more toward the end than he was like the 80s when he was a dunk.
Prime, dunking all over Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge, 13 points off the bench. Oliver Miller.
The big man.
Mark West.
Yeah.
Of course, you had Richard Dumas.
Was Cedric Sabalas already gone?
I think he was already gone.
Okay.
Cedric was gone. I think he was a Laker by then. He ended up coming back. Boy, Frank Johnson.
A.C. Green wasn't on that team.
Nope, not on this team.
Wow.
The year later, I think he was.
They played 93, they played the Bulls, right?
Yep, I'm looking at
the team. So he might have been on that team.
Nah, he wasn't on. I'm looking at this team right now. This is the same team.
So when did A.C. go over there?
Probably the next year.
I loved A.C. Green.
He went there probably the next year.
He was such an underrated winning type of a player.
Yeah, this team, it was Barkley, Marley, Dumas, Johnson, Mark West, Oliver Miller, Danny Ainge, Frank Johnson, the backup point guard, and Tom Chambers. And Tom Chambers only saw 3 minutes in game one against the Bulls. Wow. Wow. How did that happen? Jordan and Pippen. Pippen 27-9-5 in game one. On, Jordan 31-7-5 in game one with 5 steals.
It's sad what's happened to Pippen because he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Let's just go to Austin and Redwood City. I don't want to touch Scottie Pippen right now.
You go to Larsa.
There's a Diddy joke somewhere in here. I just don't know where to put it.
There's not a Diddy joke. There's a Jordan joke because Jordan's son said bye-bye to Larsa.
Oh, they're hanging out again.
Oh, they are?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Just at the beach this past weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
It's such a weird
love is in the air. Austin to Redwood City. Love is in the air.
Love is blind.
I was going to say. Yo, like,
what up, Austin?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, no, much. Just listen to you guys talk away, man. Hey. I just want to say this. Life without the big three, that's got to be crazy. We already had life without the big three before when Draymond and Clay went down and with just Steph. Man, that was tough to watch. And then Steph went down, the whole season went down after that. I just want to – and then if we do get life without Clay and Dre and it's just Steph, will Steph actually have to change his whole game and actually be a point guard? Who will he make better on the team? Because we've seen it before, and he didn't make no one else better when we didn't have the big three together. It was just Steph.
Mm.
So if we can get just one big and keep Draymond in check for a season or two, we'll be straight because we got people to put the ball in the bucket. We got rid of Jordan Poole. He can put the ball in the bucket. But if we get rid of Clay and Dre, we become weak. We become unphysical and mentally weak.
So we just basically become weak. Austin and Redwood City, we just become weak. I like point guard, though. I like how he said point guard. I did like that.
I like Austin how he usually ends the call with, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
So good.
Not like a much. Walk-off. It's always
well,
not
let's much.
Let's
go. All right, we're going to Austin and Redwood City.
Not much. Oh, not much. Not much. I love Austin. I got to meet Austin one day. He sounds like a good kid. Good guy. Don't want to call him a kid. Could be older than me. Who knows?
It bothers me.
Speaking of Draymond, he's released a podcast.
Of course he has.
Show.
Absolutely incredible.
Who is he telling you what to do?
And he's breaking down T-Wolves and Suns. Check this out.
Okay.
the Phoenix Suns are going to have to do is they're going to have to play KD on Anthony Edwards the entire series. That has to be his matchup. What Phoenix has to do is they have to rely on Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen. You're going to have to hit some shots. And they're going to have to rely on those guys to carry the load offensively. Because to ask Kevin to go try to lock up Anthony Edwards and then go carry the load on the offensive end in year 18, it ain't happening every night.
That's Draymond Green. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is it's easier said than done, number one. And number two, like, that's exhausting. What I've learned about NBA series is there's the best way to slow down a lethal opponent is, yeah, there might be one guy who does really well, but to throw different bodies at him to give somebody, you know, a variety of six different fouls from different players. I like different body types. What made the Warriors so beautiful, and we forgot, oh, the big three. Yeah, they had Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, yeah, who could also guard anyone,
yep,
given what the options were. They had Harrison Barnes, who could pretty much, at the time, could guard pretty much anyone. And then you had, when you brought in Kevin Durant, yeah, Kevin could guard anyone in the world. But you don't want him doing that because he's one of the few bucket getters. Like, I mean, they've got the three scores, but he was dynamic the last game that they played offensively.
I agree with everything what you just said. Now I'll add to this. When it comes to great players like Anthony Edwards, you don't want to leave them one-on-one with the player all game long.
No.
You want to show the great ones multiple bodies, multiple schemes,
exactly,
multiple traps, doubles, triples.
Keep them guessing.
You want a KD for three straight possessions? All right, cool. Let's mix it up real quick. Get him to be uncomfortable where he's guessing. It's like, oh, wow, they're throwing longer defenders at me. Okay, here's a little Royce O'Neal. Okay, here's Devin Booker. Here's, you don't want to leave a great player seeing one-on-one all day. They will cook you all night long.
He's 36.
And he's 36, so I don't know about that one.
But well, and I find it ironic because, okay, when was the last time Draymond locked up one guy for a whole series, just him? No one else guarded that guy while he was on the floor. That's like not how it works. Like, we're going to do pick and rolls. Very few people actually hedge or fight through their pick and roll. Now everybody gives up the switch way easier. I don't know. I think it's easier said than done.
Justin Termini, he kind of described the Warrior season, and here's his takeaway of the Warrior season.
I don't know if people out there are blaming Clay for missing the postseason. Like I said it on my show, it's not his fault. It's Draymond's fault because he's the guy that missed 15 to 20 games. And if he didn't miss 15 to 20 games, you guys would have been the top six seed. So to me, like, I'm pointing the finger at Draymond for two consecutive seasons for sabotaging basically the year.
What did you think when you heard that?
I'm just like, man, sounds like our show for the last couple of years. Like, it's... Yeah, if you've been following along on a daily basis, not just casually watching, it's impossible to talk about the Warriors and what's held them back without having Draymond being one of the first topics you get to.
It's always good to get out the bubble and get out our Bay Area bubble because you hear the national perspective. And he works with Eddie Johnson. And Eddie Johnson does not hold back. We know Eddie very, very well. He's calling the Suns game tonight. And Justin Termini, I respect him. NBA Sirius XM Radio. That's how they view the Warriors situation. And we all thought, the first thing I thought about when they missed the playoffs, or even clinched a 10 seed, damn, could have been a top six seed. Because Draymond's that important to this team. He's that good to where they could have gone from a 10 seed to a 6 or 5 seed. And who knows what happens in the first round. I don't know. We may be talking about this team. We're in the middle of a series right now. We're talking about game 2. You know, whether the Warriors are up 1-0 or down 1-0-1. And it's easy to look at Draymond and say, and look, Draymond Green played exceptional basketball on the court. But the problem was he missed too much time. And it was self-inflicting wounds. And you hope he grows from it. You hope he learns from it. But this is two years in a row where we're talking about Draymond Green and what could have been for the Golden State Warriors. And that's tough. So each conversation with the big three is so different. With Clay, it's like maybe he needs a fresh start. Maybe he needs to move on and his money. With Draymond, it's like, damn. You got back issues, and you got suspended for the Nurkic situation and the Gobert situation. And then the ejections as well. And then with Curry, it's like, do we want to keep Curry around? Or are you closer to continuing with Stephen Curry? If you make all these different moves, what can you do with the cap?
So you had a caller calling earlier, B, and he was like, you know, like, they really need Draymond. And this is, see, I would argue that they've actually tailored their roster to accommodate Draymond, and it's limited how they've built the team around Steph Curry. Because you go, you know off the rip, Draymond's got to have the ball at the top of the key.
Yep.
You know off the rip that, like, yeah, really we're at our best when he's at the five, but he gets hurt and gets worn down, and he doesn't really like that.
Right.
But offensively, we don't love him at the four because he can't shoot.
Yep.
Like, see, people only see the defense that he's bringing to the table, but they don't understand the complicated situations that it provides for building out the roster around him. And it just makes it very, very, very tricky to get the right combination of players on the floor with him to make the offense go.
Offensively, you are, you know, when this is why we talk about the two big lineup and the one big lineup. Because you have two non-shooters on the floor. Now, Draymond, his IQ offensively is really, really good. But I want Draymond Green to shoot the three. I want him to shoot it aggressively. I want him taking 7 to 8 threes a game. And it sounds crazy to say, right? But the percentages will back me up on that. Because when he does shoot that three and he's hitting shots, all of a sudden the defense has to honor you. And for the most part, to start a game, the defense is not going to honor him. They're going to leave him open. Now, some teams will press him. They disrupt his ball handling, disrupt the dribble handoffs and the split action and all that. But you do have to cater. You have to play a certain way when it's Draymond Green. You know, finishing at the rim, hitting the floater. It's a tough, tough situation for Draymond in this offense here. So how do you evolve the offense with Draymond Green? Is he going to change in year 12, going into year 13? Is he going to all of a sudden start shooting the ball a lot more? Is he going to change his offensive game? I don't know. That's kind of what needs to happen for this offense to take off, because you need bucket getters.
They just, again, they keep going back to what they used to be and what they were, and they're afraid to move forward. You might take a small step back before you take a leap forward. That's what happens in life, and I think that we're so worried about taking a step back on defense. Dog, what's the best part of the team right now? Let me ask you, what's the best element on the team?
Steph.
Okay. You didn't say offense or defense.
Steph.
Exactly. Let's hang our hat on something. Like, at least before, we had explosive offense and you had elite defense. And then in 2022, I actually thought they were better defensively, but they were really good offensively as well. Right now, they don't hang your hat on anything. Yeah. So all these people are like, well, he's a great defender. Yeah, individually and as a help defender from time to time. But right now, this team needs an identity. They don't have an identity. Their identity is what they were 6, 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Anymore.
No.
They're not that team
So
anymore.
They have to hang their hat on something. And if that's one thing that you're asking me, Joe, they need to find this offseason, pick an identity. Either we're going to be a grinded out defensive team that's going to muck things up, or we're going to be an explosive offensive team that's not going to play a lick of defense. Like, pick one, because you can't do both right now.
And then you got to get the players. And can you do you have the players right now in the system to do that, to have an explosive offense? Is Kuminga Moody ready to step up?
Probably not early on, Andrew, but you're going to have to take your lumps so that you're better, you know, toward the end of the season.
Andrew Wiggins, can he reinvent himself if he is back?
I mean, what's the best stretch of offense we've seen from Andrew Wiggins?
He had a stretch before he missed the 3 games.
Like, how many games was that?
It was about a 16-game sample size.
Okay.
46% from three, 53% from the floor, 15-5. Part of it, though, we laugh at 15-5, but part of it is Draymond has the ball at the top of the key, and he's looking for Steph.
No, I hear you.
The ball's not popping.
But, Bonte, like, I did this dive when I was looking through the Clay numbers. Like, you know, he was in the top 55 of scoring, and he had almost 18 a game. You get down to 15, there's like 100 guys in the league. Literally 100 guys in the league that average 15.
But I do believe he can get to 18. I do believe he could have been 18-point per game score, but the style of play where he doesn't touch the ball. How many times did we hear Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibbs? We can't go 4 to 5 possessions without letting Andrew Wiggins touch the ball. Well, you know how this works in the NBA. How many NBA games have we watched over the years where that player gets iced out and he just, like Tobias Harris. I'm not a big Tobias Harris fan whatsoever. But at the money he's making, he goes like 10 possessions without touching the rock at all. And I'm like, that's killing him.
Yeah, but he's ridiculously overpaid.
He is overpaid. No, I said that.
Overvalued.
I prefaced that whole analogy by saying he's overpaid. I'm not a fan.
Like, I put him in the
Wiggins
zone.
But at the same time, when you get players running to 5-on-5, you know how it works at pickup. You play a pickup basketball, the guy's ball hogging, you're not touching the ball. You're going to be less inclined to try hard.
No,
you're going to be less inclined to be aggressive offensively. And when you do get the ball, you're going to take a bad shot because I just want to touch it and shoot.
I haven't
shot in 4 or 5 possessions.
But I'm not prioritizing Wiggins.
I'm not either, but I'm saying
I don't think his bag offensively warrants him getting looks at times.
No, but when you have that player and when you don't, and I get it. Like, yes, trust me. Wiggins, he fell off. But at the same time, it's kind of understandable. We're just like, wait, that guy has the ball. Now you got CP3. Clay needs his shots. Steph needs his shots. Kaminga needs his shots now. That's eating into my shots. Go 4 or 5 possessions? That's tough. Bless me. Had to cough. Thought you were going to. The one time I need him to talk, he doesn't talk. The one time I am talking. Go figure. But no, seriously, when you don't touch the ball, how much did that, like, Tobias Harris is not touching the ball. Guys, D-Lo all of a sudden is not touching the ball. Austin Reeves last night, you telling me he's not touching the ball? That doesn't affect his game? He's not even touching it, let alone shooting it.
Yeah, but I also think Austin Reeves, I don't know, like, I don't think he's that great.
I don't think he's that great. But you got to use these guys, especially early in the game. When you don't get these guys' touches and they can become less aggressive, yeah, then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter they take a shot and you're like, why is he shooting it? Because he hasn't had a touch in 5 minutes. You got to let everybody touch it.
I hear you. I just think that Wiggins is probably the wrong vehicle to use for this argument. He's just too inconsistent in general to demand the rock.
Well, he's inconsistent because he doesn't touch it. That's what I'm saying. Guys don't touch the basketball.
Yeah, but he can't create for others. He isn't the most consistent. Like, if you're describing what you're describing, then you need a knockdown 3-and-D guy. And he's just not that guy. He has enough athleticism to where he should be attacking the basket more. But then he goes up kind of like with the Euro soft stuff and throws it up. I mean, he's just, he is who he is. I mean, we got a great run out of him for a couple months.
I
just don't think he's ever going to be the type of player we want him to be.
I understand that. And I agree with that. But when you play on a basketball team, whether it's Wiggins, whether it's Austin Reeves, whether it's Tobias Harris, and the point I'm just trying to get at, when you don't touch the ball, guys become less interested and they become invisible. You got to get everybody involved in the game. And that's the thing with .5 basketball that happened,
yes,
during the heyday with the Warriors. Everybody was touching it. Everybody was getting a piece of the ball. Hey, the ball was even going down to the block. Let Bogut pass it out, whatever. Let JaVale touch it here and there. Let Zaza touch it here and there and get him involved in some action instead of screen. Wiggins just out there running up and down, up and down, up and down. Nobody's looking at him. I saw the same thing with Austin Reeves yesterday.
I just feel like we're all just done with Wiggins.
Hey, yeah, of course we can be, but, you know, when you don't touch the ball, like Steve Kerr says, well, you get lost. You get lost. Spinotti, you watched Austin Reeves last night. I swear to God, Austin Reeves may not touch the ball for 10 minutes. Yeah, but what's he
making? $9 million a year?
More than that. Signed like 3 or 4 years, like $80 million.
Was it that much?
Yeah. So. He's not touching the ball.
Wow.
Tobias Harris is not touching the ball.
Wow.
These guys are not touching it.
Yeah, but he also can facilitate better than Wiggins.
So ball pounders will kill an offense. When you're pounding the ball, pounding the ball, pounding the ball, pounding the ball, dribble, dribble, dribble. Guys, get uninterested. You got to touch it.
4 years, 50.
So 4 years, 50.
So it was close to what I was saying.
It was close, yeah.
Yeah, see?
But
9-11.
He is a guy that he needs to get his confidence going early, for sure.
I mean, he's making a third of what Wiggins is making.
But all I'm saying is, forget the money for a second. Tobias Harris, you could say Tobias Harris. All I'm saying is, when players don't touch the ball, and they go multiple possessions without touching the ball, they become less and less of a factor, especially during the entirety of the game, and they become a non-factor. You look up and say, damn, this guy played 24 minutes? Like, it happened in the Knicks game. When the Knicks went wide or wire, I didn't even know Wiggins was playing. And he had like 15 minutes in the first half. I'm like, Wiggins is playing right now? Wasn't touching it at all. And now I know we feel how we feel about Andrew Wiggins. My bigger point is, when a player doesn't touch it and he goes up and down the floor and he's not a factor, not involved in the game plan, what do you expect from him? What do you expect from him? It's just like playing pickup at the Y. Guys ball hugging, ball hugging, ball hugging. It's like, oh, now I get the ball? You become disinterested.
Unless you're Kyle Korver. That was a joke. I was waiting on that one.
Was
Chuck Person. Like, no, there are guys that just light up. They stand in the corner and they wait for the three ball. Like, that, what you're describing to me is then that's what the Warriors should be targeting, is a guy who just wants to stand on the perimeter, right, wait for the ball to come to him on a kick out, and just be a 3-and-D guy, which, right, is what everyone in the league is looking for. Everyone in the league. Right?
By the way, that was a cough, everybody. It was a cough.
What was the cough?
When I stopped. Everybody thinks I cut a fart. No, I'll let you know.
Fartgate 2.0?
Trust me.
Well, you got two more left according to Google.
I'll talk during a fart. I had no problem with that. I had to sneeze. Let's go to Anthony the 209.
I love
it. Anthony the 209, what's happening?
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Three career farts in my 12 years.
When did you cough?
When you sat there and not said.
Oh, when I didn't talk?
Yeah, the first time in the show history, you didn't talk.
Well, you were waxing poetically about Wiggins.
That was Jay. Caller Jay.
That's my favorite. Someone calls, hey, we're going to go to Bill in Piedmont. Hey.
That's our demo right there.
It's Bill.
Anthony the 209, real quick. Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Bonte? Hey, who's posting on you guys' Twitter? What are we doing here? We're talking about moving Steph Curry.
We're not trading Steph Curry. What's the tweet say?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the tweet say? Can you read the tweet? Can you read the tweet, Anthony?
Yeah, I love how triggered you are. Good morning.
Could the Warriors be faced with the notion once considered impossible, trading Steph Curry? We get into the possibility now on the Morning Roast 957. What are we doing here?
What
are you doing, Doc? What are you doing here? That's what I want to know.
What am I doing?
Yeah, clearly you just walked up to the store looking for smoke. What do you got? You actually have an opinion or what?
Yeah, I got an opinion. Are we talking about Steph Curry, the one who put up the same numbers this year that he did in his MVP year? He doesn't show signs of aging. So what are we talking about? He has the most viewed finals of any player.
Anthony, let me just say something. And I want you to stay on the line. Don't flush him. Don't flush him. Please don't. Anthony, I, Bonte Hill, and I'll speak for Joe Shasky here. We are not saying trade Stephen Curry. We're not saying that at all. What we're saying is, are the Warriors closer to bottoming out in a Western Conference, or are they closer to contending
currently,
with Steph?
Currently.
And if they're not, when do we have that conversation to ask Steph, what do you want to do here, bro? Like, that's it. We're not saying trade Stephen Curry. I, to my core, do not want to trade Stephen Curry. I would rather lose 60 games with Steph Curry on my team than watch Steph Curry in another uniform, Anthony. So let's just get that straight before you call here, try to come empty the clip on us.
Hey, I'm from the 209. You know, I got that Diaz blood running through me. You know what I mean?
So you're from Stockton.
But regardless, from Modesto, right next door. You know, we're not quite as tough as them, but
hey, you got the movie. This got the movie, Jakey Promoters.
Hey,
and they have the Field of Dreams right out there in Manteca.
Oh yeah, that's actually where I'm really from. But
so now we're getting Doug. Where are you from? You're all over the place.
Manteca and Modesto, the combo. I grew up in Manteca and I live in Modesto.
The toilet is starting to circle.
No, let him talk. Let him finish.
What I was trying to say.
Let him finish. Go ahead, Anthony.
All right, so really, how from that championship season a couple years ago, how much worse are we, or is the West just that much better?
Because combination really, of both.
Yeah, so, I mean, if the West is going to stay this good, I see how you can say we're close to bottoming out. But you can say Wiggins, this is the worst we've seen Wiggins in a Warriors uniform. If he plays how he did that year, what are we, 4 or 5? How many close games did we lose? 4, 5, 6?
Well, that's kind of the whole point of the exercise. I don't know if we're seeing that guy in this uniform again, Anthony. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Captain, that ship has sailed.
You know.
First team all denial right there.
He went from, I'm from the 209. I was like, oh, Stockton.
He changed his name to Sam, and he tried to call in again on a different name. Doesn't know who he is.
He doesn't know
Anthony
where
he's
from.
Anthony and then John.
I just saw a tweet. This is why the tweets. We got to be careful with the tweets because people are going to see our tweets.
Bonte's been on this.
And they're going to say, oh, look at these jabronis in the morning. Jabroni. This is why they should fire him off the pregame. This is why Draymond yelled at him.
Andrew Wiggins, why you tune in and listen to the conversation.
You know, but people don't do that these days. They click on a headline and they think that's the story. How many times we judge a book by its cover without reading the damn book? That's America these days.
That's a they problem.
These young millennials, or whatever the hell they are. What are these, Gen Z or whatever?
Yeah, we're on like a different millennials alphabet. Definitely don't know how to use Twitter. And
how about an idiot just being an idiot? Whatever happened to those days?
It's called every day.
You know, my dad used to just come up and smack somebody in the back. You're being an idiot. Just smack you in the back of the head. You know, not malicious, didn't knock you out. This is what we did growing up.
How about this real quick before we get to Fast
Five? Don't be an idiot.
How about this?
That's a big ask.
How about this? How about this? John Lynch yesterday.
I was just with Mike Tomlin and at the Michigan Pro Day, and Mike coached me, and so we're very close. And he's like, "Bro, what's going on?" Like, I promise you, we got nothing. And nothing's going on there. We're actively talking with Brandon, trying to figure something out. And I always talk. We have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done, and it takes two sides. So can we do that? We'll see. There's a number of different directions, you know, that it could go, but we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player, and we want him to be a part of the Niners, so we're going to work towards making that a reality.
Did he give permission to Brandon Ayuk to seek a trade?
given permission to his side to go?
I'm not going to get in all those details. We're really focused on BA being part of us. He's under contract, and we're looking forward to that.
Ooh. Why wouldn't you just kind of say no? I'm not
the
saying
the downfall
that,
is near and it's coming.
No,
hard.
No. I'm just saying, like, wouldn't it have been easier just saying no? Because they did that with DeForest Buckner, apparently. They said, hey, you know, if you want to go seek a trade, go take a look, and, you know, we'll figure out if we can execute it. That didn't make me feel comfortable that they're keeping Ayuk.
No, it didn't.
What do you think? See, here's what I don't understand. If you know the price tag and it's not going to move, you know, fast five me.
No. That's going too far.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Okay. So here's what I don't understand. Everyone kind of knows the price tag. It's over $25 million a year, right? It's about $50 to $60 million guaranteed when it comes to Ayuk. We're not like $50 million off. You know what I mean? We kind of know where we're at. I don't understand what the holdup is. I would want to jump in front of T. Higgins because if he gets some crazy number, to me, you have to pay Ayuk even more than what T. Higgins is getting because I think Ayuk is better than T. Higgins. Devontae Smith laid the groundwork for what the deal is. We kind of know what it is. Either you're going to pay him or you're not. Now, I understand there's a negotiation and there's a yin-yang. I understand all that. I want him to practice with Purdy all offseason. I want him to be at the training facility all offseason to set the tone. I don't know.
Nick Wagner had an interesting tweet yesterday about, by the way, Texas is changing uniforms. Interesting tweet about Brandon Ayuk. New deal for Ayuk would almost certainly mean minimal cap hits in the first couple of years. By the time those numbers spike in 2026, something we talked about yesterday, the following highly paid Niners would no longer be under contract. Barring extensions, that's George Kittle, Traverius Ward, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. They would also have opt-outs on big money deals for Trent Williams and Javon Hargrave that could save considerable room if needed. So I'll go back to my original point. You can still sign Ayuk, you can keep everybody together and push things until next season. And then when you get to Brennan Brock Purdy contract decisions, then you can move off other guys. But I don't believe that you can't afford Brennan Ayuk right now for this team. You can do that. It's a matter of if they want to keep Brennan Ayuk or not. So TJ Husmajada joined Willard and Dibs yesterday. And what did TJ say? Brennan Ayuk wants to be a Niner. Said he had conversations with Brennan Ayuk. So how much do we put in the stock what TJ Husmajada said? Said he talked to Ayuk. And Ayuk wants to remain a member of the 49ers. Go ahead, Spadoni.
Well, man, what else is there to say in regards to the Lakers being down 0-2? The series basically over. If they were going to be in that series, even try to win it, they'd probably win last night. But I'm going to give a shout-out to Daryl the Guru Johnson. I talked about it this morning on a makeshift crossover on the pregame show with Joe Shasky, 5 to 6, Monday through Friday. Check us out. It's so hard to tee off in front of a bunch of people, especially if you totally haven't golfed a lot. So I give Goo a lot of kudos there. It is, I don't care if you've played your whole life. It's intimidating teeing off in front of a bunch of strangers. Hell, it could be my friends and family, and I don't want to chunk it or top the ball. I've topped the ball countless of times, just not paying attention just because of nerves. Shout out, Guru.
I mean, heck, I could be teeing off in front of nobody and still have nerves. My final thought is, listen, no one wants to trade Stephen Curry, but sometimes in the world of sports, you're forced into situations that you don't want to be in. Now, that said, I would be against trading Stephen Curry simply because you look around at the league at what assets teams have to give up. To be honest, no one really has a package of draft picks that I look at and be like, yep, that's Steph Curry worthy. So right now, yeah, Steph, you're staying with the Warriors.
Hey, Sam, Bonte. Right field production for the Giants in 2024. Second to last in OPS, second to last in batting average, second to last in slugging, third to last in hits, second most strikeouts, zero doubles, one home run. Both dead last.
It bothers me.
Not very good.
That's the right field production for the Giants. If they can get a little bit of production from right field, this is going to be an over 500 teams.
And that was Fast Five brought to you by Xfinity Hell. They're about to be 500, even with that right field production. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all your devices. Steiny and Evan Giddings next here on 95.7 The Game. Have a good day, everybody.